It's time to put the new bike on the road. I'm Joseph, this is Input English. I've had a few false starts. That is, I've had a few attempts to get this bike on the road and was not very successful. You could say they were setbacks, minor things, but things that interfered with enjoying the new bike. I think we're ready today. I think I've got all the boxes checked on the checklist. I've been using my own advice, use a checklist, and so I think I've got everything ready. You can see the bike is on the bike rack. It was pretty easy to organize that. So I will take the bike off the rack and do a little minor assembly, such as mounting the camera on the bike, and then we'll be on the road. And I'll bring you along and let you have a feel for what it's like riding in this park on this bike path. This is the Coyote Creek bike path. It's about 15 miles long. When we lived here in Morgan Hill, we used this a lot. I needed to lose some weight. I decided to lose weight. So I dramatically changed my eating behavior. I cleaned up my diet quite a bit. And then I added some exercise. I added bicycle riding. But I didn't want to ride in traffic. I didn't want to try to get healthy, ride a bicycle, and then get hit by a car. Being hit by a car would completely undo the benefits of eating healthy and getting exercise. Luckily, right here in Morgan Hill, there is a bike path that is dedicated to walking and riding bicycles. On the weekends, it's really busy. It's a little difficult to ride here on the weekends because you'll find a lot of people strolling with their family. Sometimes they'll have a dog. Sometimes they'll have little children. And often these families are not thinking in terms of bicyclists. They're thinking in terms of enjoying time with their family. Sometimes the dogs are on very long leashes, and as one rides past a dog on a long leash, the dog is not actually under control. And you can have some unpleasant surprises. The dog can do things unexpectedly, and that can be a problem for a bicycle rider. Some dogs instinctively chase moving things, and so some dogs will instinctively chase after a person riding a bicycle. Since I have not been riding a bicycle regularly for a number of years, I decided to come here and use the concept of going from known to unknown. I know this bike path very well. I have ridden hundreds of miles on this bike path. And so the path and the environment here will create no surprises. It's a known quantity. Once I get used to riding regularly in a familiar place, then I'll be ready to branch out and go to other areas. I'm still rather leery of riding in traffic. Just like families with children walking on this bike path may be distracted and may not be paying attention to the bicyclists, I have noticed that automobile drivers are frequently not paying attention to bicyclists. Every year, people get hit by cars while they're riding their bicycle. I don't need to use the bicycle to ride to work. That sort of activity would be best done by car for me. Also, we live in the mountains, and the highway that connects our home to the city is not conducive to bicycle riding at all. When I lived in Philadelphia many decades ago, I rode the bicycle and I rode it to work. Philadelphia provides a very interesting problem to bicycle riders. That is trolley tracks. Trolley cars are like buses, but they don't ride on rubber tires and they're not steered. A trolley is on two tracks. In Philadelphia, they are powered by electricity, and the electricity comes from a cable strung above the tracks. The trolley tracks in Philadelphia are designed that cars can drive over them, so they're not raised like train tracks. They are set into the roadway, and there is a little groove into which the flange of the wheel fits, providing the stability to the trolley. The trouble with that groove that runs the length of these rails in Philadelphia is that a bicycle rider can get the tires of the bike caught in that groove. It's deep enough that if your two wheels are trapped in that groove, you wouldn't be able to steer. And for a bicycle rider, that would mean you would lose your balance and fall. That happened to me when riding to work in Philadelphia. I was on a relatively quiet street. There was a trolley track. I inadvertently got the wheels of my bike caught in the groove of the trolley track, and I fell. I realized what had happened, so I was slowing down very abruptly, trying to avoid falling at high speed, and I only fell against a car. Neither the car nor I were injured. No damage occurred, but I realized that for me, riding in Philadelphia had an added risk, the trolley tracks. Here in Northern California, we have no trolley tracks except in San Francisco. I don't anticipate riding a bicycle in San Francisco. For now, I'm going to stay on dedicated bike paths, avoiding trolley tracks, of course, and avoiding traffic. I'm doing this for exercise and enjoyment. I'm not doing it for transportation per se. So now I will unload the bike and we'll be on the path shortly. So this is my getup. I have the camera mounted on the handlebars. I have a helmet. It's a pretty good helmet. It's not too big, but it's well padded. I have a jacket, not because it's cold, but because I'm going to be going probably an average of 8 to 10 miles per hour. And at this temperature, the wind chill will come into play. It also may get windy. Right now, the wind is about 3 miles per hour, but it may get windier this afternoon while I'm still out. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so I have many hours of sunlight left. It looks like probably at least 4 hours of sunlight left, maybe three. So time to get on the road. So earlier I said I had a couple of false starts. The first revelation that I had when I tried to ride this bike the other day was that I had not tightened the seat enough. And so at about this point, riding here, the seat shifted to an incredibly uncomfortable position, and I had to stop and shift it. I had not planned on that problem, so I did not have a wrench with me to tighten it. The wrench was at home. A lot of good it did me to have a wrench at home. The other thing I discovered is the bicycle seat that came with this was not very comfortable. It wasn't comfortable when it was in the wrong position, but it was also not comfortable when it was in a better position. So, in anticipation of needing to be comfortable, I bought a new bicycle seat. The design of this seat is appropriate to bicycle posture that's more upright, typical of this kind of bike. Okay, now, I'm going about 12 miles an hour, slowing to 10. I have a little computer that keeps track of the speed and distance. The trouble with the computer is I forget to turn it on when I start riding. I suppose I need a checklist for that. I think there's a bit of an artifact, and that is I have my attention divided by my efforts to make a video. And if I was just out here riding without trying to make a video, I would probably remember to turn the bike computer on. When I was a kid, I rode bicycles that had coaster brakes. Coaster brakes are brakes that are in the pedals. You turn the pedals forward to go forward, but if you want to stop, you pedal in the reverse direction and it engages a brake mechanism in the rear wheel. I was very familiar with coaster brakes until I went to college and got a bike that had handbrakes. Most of my riding since college has been on bikes with handbrakes, and so now I have to re-acclimatize to coaster brakes. You might hear an airplane overhead. We are near to the airport in Morgan Hill, and there will be airplanes overhead. My first leg on this planned trip is 2 miles long. This will take me from the parking lot under the 101 freeway. This first leg, I'm following the Coyote Creek, which is to my left here. It has water in it. It's running. My first stop is at the Model Airplane Airport. Here in this park, there is an airport that is used only by small radio-controlled aircraft. It's not an airport for an aircraft that you could fly in yourself. It's an airport dedicated to model aircraft. I'm not certain that there will be anyone there today. Perhaps one of the nice things about the Model Airplane Airport is that it has a weather station. And the weather station is connected to the internet, and so one can check weather conditions here at this park easily online. When I was ordering this bicycle, one of the thoughts that went through my head was, well, when I was a kid, I didn't have any gears on my bike, but I had the option of ordering a bike with either no gears, no changeable gears, or 3 speeds, or 5 speeds, or even more. I chose the 3-speed option, figuring that it's simple and it couldn't hurt. I am very grateful that I made that decision. There are enough small hills that a bike with no ability to change gears would be a problem. Here you can see that we are coming into my first stop. This is the Model Airplane Airport, and it doesn't look like there's anyone here. Just bicyclists to my eye. Doesn't look like anyone's flying. This is the Model Aircraft Airport. The runway is right out there. It's a miniature version of a regular airport. The usual trappings include this. You can see there's a windsock. That is a wind direction indicator, and the fact that it is hanging limp like that tells us that the winds are basically still. Below the windsock is the weather station. This weather station was made by Davis Industries in the United States. The reason I know that is I have one just like it on the roof of the house. You can see the 3 rotating cups. That is an anemometer. The anemometer is an indicator of wind speed. It measures wind speed. And then above the anemometer is a wind direction sensor. In addition, this device measures relative humidity, temperature, and precipitation. It's solar powered, and once you put it up on its location, they're basically trouble-free for years. One of the reasons I really like the weather station here is I can go online and pick up all the data from this sensor. This is hooked to the internet, and I have access to real-time measurements of conditions here before I drive all the way out here. It does not have a webcam. It does not tell us about visibility or cloud cover, but it tells you temperature, precipitation, relative humidity, wind direction, and wind speed. And for most of us who are just interested in riding a bicycle, that's plenty of information. Sometimes this little radio control airport gets rather busy. It is run by a club, and only club members can fly aircraft here. They have to follow the rules. They have to use good safety precautions. And to my eye, it looks like it's pretty well run. I'm not real worried about the exclusivity of members only, because anyone can join this club and qualify to use this facility. It doesn't exclude anybody. We are now 2 miles from the parking lot, 2 miles from the truck and the bike rack. My plan is to ride 2 more miles in that direction and then turn around and come back for a total ride of 8 miles. That will be my longest ride of the year. I'm building up to longer distances. 15 years ago, when we were riding here, it was common for me to ride 15 or 20 miles on a good bike ride. That's great exercise. But since I have not ridden in a number of years, I'm building up to that. So today is a planned 8-mile ride. I'm back on the road. I'm on the bike path. On the road is an expression, a casual expression, and it doesn't always literally mean a road. So I'm back on the bike path, but I could just say casually, I'm on the road again. When I'm riding here for exercise and enjoyment, I don't worry about the speed. When I was younger, shall we say less mature, I would try to go very fast. But now, I don't find that's very important. Well, I have returned successfully. No mishaps at all. It was a lovely ride. I find that people on this bike path are really friendly. I saw a lot of courtesy, and there were no problems with the ride at all. There was an interesting little problem with this. This is my wireless microphone. I have used this to make hundreds of videos. It has become a little temperamental in recent weeks, and I'm not sure what the problem is. The way it manifested today is I made my outgoing video and then turned the system off to conserve battery and rode to my planned turnaround spot. I turned around and tried to initiate more recording, and I couldn't get the microphone to pair with the camera. It kept turning itself off. I'll have to go online and see if there's a good explanation for this pattern, but I'm wondering if maybe it is that the battery is getting weak. I have to remember, I've used this for 1.5 years, sometimes daily, and I've made literally hundreds and hundreds of videos using this one wireless microphone. Luckily, I have a spare. I have learned as I made videos for this channel that it's wise to have a backup plan, particularly if I'm in a place like this where I am remote and not able to easily recover if I don't have plan B. So I have a spare wireless microphone that I could press into service and use. Today, everything went according to plan. My first ride here was perhaps 1.5 miles because of the problem with the seat. My second ride here was 4 miles, and then the following one was 6. Today was a planned 8-mile ride, and it was indeed just a little over 8 miles. Today qualified for my target of 30 minutes of moderate exercise. in one day. So it's time to pack the bicycle up on the bike rack and drive home. I'm driving countercommute. So countercommute is a casual term that we use mostly around big cities. If you are traveling during rush hour in the direction of the commute, that is in the mornings toward town and in the evenings away from town, then you're likely to be substantially delayed because you're caught in traffic. As I rode alongside the freeway, I could see that the traffic going to the south was very heavy and very slow. However, the traffic going back toward town was pretty light, so I will be going in the direction opposite of the commute traffic, so we call that countercommute. It should be fairly easy to get home. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.